Simon Peter was the most prominent apostle. And if he was not the most prominent, he was the most vocal. He was a very strong character. But like all of us, Peter had weaknesses. Very often he misunderstood what the Lord was saying and what the Lord was asking of him. And yet, he was always there. He was in the inner circle of our Lord. You remember it was Peter, James, and John that were called that inner circle that always was with Jesus in times of need and encouragement and so on, and they were always there at his side. But in John the 18th chapter, when Jesus stood before the judges on trial that fateful night of his betrayal, Peter was not beside him. He was not there to encourage and to defend him and to share in his fate. Even though a few hours before Peter had drawn his sword to defend the Lord, when it came a time of trial and people were clamoring for his death, Peter was not there. In fact, we're told that he was outside in the courtyard. He was not among those who were accusing Jesus and clamoring for his death. But he was on the outside with the servants and others who really were not partaking of anything regarding the trial. Peter took no active part in that mockery. He was there with the servants and the others who were not involved in the injustice that was going on. In fact, Peter warmed himself by the fire of those servants. He was on the same neutral ground that they were on. And when the fate of our Lord was in the balance, Peter was not taking sides. This incident, I think, portrays the position of many individuals in the world today. You do not have to be a great scholar, I think, to know that we live in a divided world, a badly divided nation, politically, morally, religiously, and racially, and on so many different issues. Issues such as the question about abortion, the question about divorce and remarriage, about homosexuality, about baptism for the forgiveness of sins, the one true church. But many, like Peter, are looking for a safe, neutral, non-controversial position. Some would say the easy way out, not to offend anybody and not to take a position. Peter took, like many today, a non-controversial position. A battle was going on inside of that judgment hall. And where Jesus was, Peter was not there. In fact, he was in the yard where he thought he did not have to take a stand for or against Jesus. But you know, Matthew, the 12th chapter in verse 30 says that Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." The ground on which Peter stood and those others on that occasion is the same ground that many today who are undecided and who won't take a position or to stand against error. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, there in verse 14, Paul said, "That ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Paul said, don't be like children, tossed to and fro. You're on this side and then you're on that side. But make up your mind to stand up for truth. Beware of those who would try to induce you to take a neutral position, not to offend anyone or to stand for our Lord. Those who stand with Peter today on this undisputed neutral ground do not want to take a stand. They prefer to play it safe, I guess some would say. It seems better in their thinking to see which way the majority is going and then to join that group. Since these have not identified themselves, they go away or they take a particular circumstance to dictate what they are going to do. But you know, when you stop and think about that attitude, compare the attitude, if you would, to the attitude of men and women of great conviction that the Bible tells us about. Over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 32, the writer says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David and also Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens." My friends, those are just a few from the scripture and from the history of our Lord's people who were willing to stand up and be counted regardless of what the cost. Peter's position was a comfortable one. In fact, where he was, there was a warm fire. And where Peter was, his surroundings were much more pleasant than those inside the hall where Jesus stood. Great issues were at stake. Monumental decisions had to be made. But Peter was not there. We don't know why. Maybe it was he was thinking about his own personal welfare. There are many people today who are willing to wait until the battle is fought before they're willing to take a stand for the cause that is involved. In Acts 24 and verse 14, Paul, standing before Felix on trial for his life, and Paul denies the charge of sedition. He denies that he had defiled the temple. But in verse 14, he makes this statement. "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Did you get it? I am a worshiper of God. I will not deny my Lord. Not only that, I am a Christian. I'm a believer in the words of my fathers and those who have gone before. Sad to say that the attraction of the majority is a powerful pressure. Peer pressure, we know, causes many to bend and compromise and even rationalize their personal convictions to avoid the criticism of a crowd. Again, in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 4 and 5, Peter says, "Wherein they think it is strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" Peter's talking about peer pressure. They thought it strange and weird that you won't go with them and their pressure. In Romans the 12th chapter in verse 2, the writer says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be transformed into the likeness of this world, but be ye transformed. Think a different way and stand up for truth and honesty. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 17, Paul again says, "Wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you." He's saying that we're not to be like everybody else. We're not to be like the crowd. We're not to give in to peer pressure, but that we must come out from among them and be separate in the lives that we live. There's a great clamoring today to be like everybody else. I don't want to be different. I don't want to be called weird. Paul says, don't be like them. You are to be a separate group of people. Now, in truth, so far as the record goes, Simon Peter did not join the group that was against Jesus. But neither did he take his stand for Jesus. He did not want to follow Satan, but he was willing to warm by Satan's fire. The neutral ground that Peter came on and that many today come on is a dangerous and precarious position. The warm, neutral ground where Peter stood was dangerous because it was there that he was overtaken in sin. He was caught off guard. His defenses were down. His failure is no different than any other one who stands and takes a neutral position. In Acts, the 4th chapter, Peter and John were arrested for healing a lame man. And after a night in jail, the Sanhedrin decided to threaten and charge them not to preach again anywhere in the name of Jesus. But listen to the answer that on this occasion Peter and John gave. "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." It's interesting on that occasion that Peter was willing to stand up to the Sanhedrin itself and say, "I have got to speak out for my Lord." The determination to live by principle and not just by policy should be a personal decision that each of us have to make in our own lifetime in the quiet moments of recollection. We must consider there in the quietness of that time without the crowd shouting, "Do it, do it, do it." Come and don't be an oddball. That decision must be made before the test comes. Personal integrity and determination to be honest and truthful must be made before the pressures of the moment dictate. Just this one time, we often rationalize, first century Christians were often required and asked to deny Christ. And if they denied just the one time, they would be allowed to live. If not, they died for that confession. The determination that we have to be faithful and loyal to God must be made before emotionalism sets in, before first false promises and minor aches and pains and ills. And yes, in our time, the characteristics of society. Before those things come, we must make up our mind and be determined that I will stand for my Lord. When someone has once learned what we ought to do, and very seldom are few who have been introduced to the gospel can say, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. And they stand on neutral ground without incurring or with incurring the disfavor of the God of heaven. In James, the fourth chapter, verse 17, James says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Anyone who's heard the gospel for the first time knows what they must do in order to be saved. They cannot stand on a neutral ground and say, I don't know which way I ought to go. But in this story, finally, Simon Peter, in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 51, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You see, Peter had realized that he had failed the test. When the test came, he was on neutral ground. He was not willing at that time to stand up for our Lord and Savior. After the crucifixion and after the resurrection of our Lord, Jesus appeared again to his apostles. The Bible says he appeared to them three times after his resurrection. In John's record, the third time is in John 21. The disciples had eaten fish that had been provided by the Lord miraculously by the Sea of Galilee. And once again, Jesus turned to face Simon Peter. And he said unto Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? It was a question that he repeated three different times, but the same question. And each time that he asked Peter the question, Peter answered, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Did you ever wonder why? Our Lord asked Peter that question three times, the same question. No doubt it was to allow Peter the opportunity to determine if he was ready to take a stand for Christ. You know, each one of us in our daily lives must face that same question. Am I willing to stand up for my Lord and Savior? Once in every man and woman's life, there comes a time in strife or in trials, temptations, and between truth and error, and we must decide which side we will choose. We can no longer remain on neutral ground. Brethren, I believe that we are living in such a time. The virus and all of the other things that are all about us call upon each of us to make a decision. Will I stand for Christ? Or will I take a neutral position, tolerating what's going on and not willing to offend anyone? We must be willing to stand for truth and for our Lord. The idea is that you cannot remain neutral. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you need to do it now. You need to take a stand for our Lord. You need to make sure that people know that you are a Christian, that you're willing to confess that before this group and any group that you may come in contact with. And you must be willing to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. I know that many times in our lives we are prone to not want to take a stand, but we must not deny our commitment. If you think back when each of us became a Christian, we made a commitment. I'll live for my Lord. If you've not done that as a Christian, won't you pray God's forgiveness and renew that commitment once again to take a place and a stand on the side of our Lord. If you need to come, won't you do it now as together we stand and sing.